Okay, that's good. We're good. All right, and it reads, "Now a man from the house of Levi went and married a Levite woman. The woman conceived, and she bore a son. And when she saw that he was a fine baby, she hid him 3 months." Somebody say 3 months.
3 months.
"When she saw that he was a fine baby, she hid him 3 months. When she could hide him no longer, she got a papyrus basket for him. She plastered it with bitumen and with pitch, and she put the child in it and placed it among the reeds on the bank of the river. His sister stood at a distance to see what would happen to him. The daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the river. While her attendants walked beside the river, she saw the basket among the reeds, and she sent her maid to bring it. When she opened it, she saw the child. He was crying, and she took pity on him. 'This must be one of the Hebrews' children,' she said. Then his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, 'Shall I go and get you a nurse from the Hebrew women to nurse the child for you?' Pharaoh's daughter said to her, 'Yes.' So the girl went and called the child's mother. Pharaoh's daughter said to her, 'Take this child and nurse it for me, and I will give you your wages.' So the woman took the child and she nursed it. When the child grew up, she brought him to the Pharaoh's daughter, and she took him as her son. Pharaoh's daughter named him Moses." Somebody say Moses.
Moses.
"Because," she said, "I drew him out of the water." You could return to me quickly to verse 3. "When she could hide him no longer, she got a papyrus basket. She plastered it with bitumen and with pitch. She put the child in it and placed it among the reeds on the bank of the river." Somebody look at the person next to you, if you could, and tell them, make a decision. Come on, look at the person on the other side of you and let them know, make a decision. Yes. You could pray with me. God, we are amazed at the way you work things out in our lives. We are amazed, God, that even when we don't feel you present, when we don't hear your voice, when we look around and see chaos, we don't see your hand at work. God, when we need you and we can't always see you, that you're right there. We praise you because when we look back, we can see that you were at work the whole time. It is incredible to know, God, that you are working things out for us, even when our human eyes can't see it. So today, God, those of us who find ourselves in tricky situations, we don't know which way to turn and we don't know where you're leading us, God, we ask that you give us the faith, the courage, the audacity to trust anyway. We promise, God, that we will listen to you for your word in this moment. We came needing something. Some of us came with stuff heavy on our shoulders. We bear our hearts before you. You have never let us down before. So speak, God, your servants, your children are listening. We need a word from you, and we promise we'll listen to try to hear your voice. It doesn't always come through the way we expect. It is in your mighty, in your matchless, and your powerful name that we make this prayer. And we say together, amen.
Amen.
Amen. On this Mother's Day, we are reflecting on one of the most powerful mothers in the Bible, one of the most powerful mothers in the Bible. She doesn't get a lot of credit, but if it weren't for her, much of the Bible would not have taken place because she is the mother of Moses. Now, she doesn't get a lot of credit either in the Bible or by Moses. He doesn't even necessarily know who she is. So she, like many of us, like many of the mothers in the room, know what it's like to not get the credit you deserve. I don't know if anybody knows what I'm talking about. But this woman, she wasn't just Moses' mom. She was also his lifesaver. She was also his hero. Though he may not have never known it. How many know that a mom is never just really a mom? She is also an EMT. She's also the first responder. She's also an algebra tutor. She's also a cell phone troubleshooter. She is also the hands which prepared the food. A mom is never just a mom. She's many other things. And that's the story that we get today. This mom was not just his mom, but she was his heroine today. But I need you to know today that she did this woman, this mother that we're celebrating today, she did all of this without the tiniest instructions, without even a hint of a word from God, with no direction, with no hints as to which way to go, without a plan from the divine. She did all of this. Some of us might be in a similar situation, a situation where we don't know what to do. We're waiting for God to give us some instruction to push us in one direction or the other. But sometimes you have to make a what? A decision. Sometimes you have to make a decision. This mom, of course, one of the moms who doesn't get the credit she deserves, she doesn't even get her name told in the story. In particular, we don't hear her name, but later in Exodus, we learn that her name is Jochebed. Somebody say Jochebed. I want us to know her name since the Bible didn't give us the credit. Her name is Jochebed. And she teaches us this morning that even when we can't see God's plan, there is power in making a decision. We meet Jochebed in what is, by all accounts, an impossible situation. She has no options. No solutions present themselves. She is stuck between a rock and a hard place, between a travesty and a tragedy. There is no way she can turn. She's stuck in an impossible situation. She is in unworkable circumstances. Her people, the Hebrew people, they were enslaved by the Egyptians. As many of us know, their community had grown to the point that Pharaoh was afraid of them. And Pharaoh had decreed that all boys born to the Hebrews, they were to be thrown into the Nile River. Genocide in our text this morning. The boys were going to be thrown into the Nile River because Pharaoh was afraid of this community and how it was growing and how it was becoming more powerful than his community. And Jochebed wakes up one day to find that she is pregnant. Because how many know life will find a way even in the midst of a death-dealing situation? She finds that she is pregnant. And she prays, she begs God that it will be another girl. Because how could she face the prospect of this impossible situation? How could she turn her baby over to the Egyptians to have him done away with? How could she do such a thing? She prays that it will be a girl, but her term reaches the end and she finds herself in an impossible situation. It's a boy. She sees no options. She sees no way out. On the one side, there's something she could never do. How could she ever turn her baby over to be given over to sure destruction? On the other side, there are forces bigger than her. How could she ever overpower Pharaoh and everything he represents? She's powerless against them. Nothing she could do. An impossible situation. And in this unworkable situation, Jochebed does something that many of us are familiar with. She does something that many of us can see ourselves. Maybe we've done it before. She waits until she can't stand it anymore. This situation has a stranglehold on her life. It has her by in its grip. She can't go about her life. She can't go about raising her family and watching them grow. She can't go outside for fear the Egyptians might see her and take her son. She can't go to the market the way she normally would for fear the Egyptians might see her and take her son. She can't go and bathe her son in the river for fear that the worst might take place. She can't even go on a walk outside with her nursing child. She can't go anywhere. She's stuck. She's paralyzed. In an impossible situation. Many of us know what it's like to find ourselves in an impossible situation. Situations where we feel we have no options. We turn one way and the risks are too great, and we turn the other way and the consequences are just too heavy. There's no way we can turn. Everything is coming in against us and there's no way out. We cannot see a solution. We tried to make it work. We've worried and we've wept and we've prayed. We've begged God. We've analyzed every possible choice, but they all seem to get us nowhere, an impossible situation. So what do you do when you can't go left and you can't go right? What do you do when you can't go back and you can't go forward? What do you do? You eventually just sit down right where you are. Even though where you are is unworkable and you sit down there and you get stuck. Sitting in a circumstance that is not designed for you, waiting in a place that won't let you live, hiding in a place that is hurting you. Many of us get stuck in impossible situations. This is where we find Jochebed today. Stuck because she sees no way out, paralyzed in a place that will not allow her to live the life that God created her to live. She waits, she hopes against hope that something will happen, that something will change. She wonders when God is going to speak. She hides for 3 long months, somebody say 3 months, until she can't stand it anymore. You see, her impossible situation had reached a boiling point and it was bubbling over. Her baby was getting big. He was beginning to cry louder and louder. People were stopping when they walked by the house wondering, is that a baby boy that I hear? She couldn't hide him anymore. He was too big. She was getting to the point where her impossible situation was not allowing her any more room. She was desperate. She got to the point.
She couldn't take it anymore.
Does anybody know about hiding in an unworkable situation until you can't stand it anymore? Does anybody know about staying in a place that was not designed for you to live the life you were created to live until the seams of your psyche are about to burst, until you just can't do what you've been doing anymore? Does anybody know about finding yourself in impossible situations that don't give you any options, but you don't know where to go, so you just sit there and you're stuck in a situation that wasn't designed for you? You're waiting there, wondering what to do, not hearing any instructions, waiting for a path to open up, and nothing does, and you're stretched to your limit till you can't do what you've been doing anymore. An impossible situation until you can't stand it any longer. Why do we wait in unworkable situations? Why do we get in these situations and we get paralyzed where we are? We can't move forward. A lot of times when we can't see a path forward, we can't get ourselves somewhere, we wait for someone to come and remove us from the situation. We hope that someone, be it God or be it circumstance, be it another person, will come and take us from where we are and move us to somewhere better. Because we can't see a path forward, we don't perceive a way out. Instead of walking, we sit down and we stay in an impossible situation. We relinquish our ability to decide, to make a move. We get stuck. We wait until we can't stand it anymore. Why do we wait? Why do we stay paralyzed in these unworkable situations? Why do we wait until we can't take it anymore? One reason that we wait so long in the situations that are not working for us is the fear of loss. The fear of loss. Many times, the fear of what we think we will lose, what we think we cannot live without, it overwhelms the discomfort that we feel in an unworkable situation. We are so afraid to move on and to not have those things that we feel we can't live without. And the fear of losing those things, it paralyzes us. The job is no longer, it's just not working for you anymore. The job is not where you need to be, but you're afraid to live without the identity that that job gives you. And so because of the fear of the loss, you stay in an unworkable situation. The relationship is an impossible situation. It's not working anymore. We can't conceive of living without the person, though. We feel we'll crumble if they're not around. So instead of moving forward, making a decision, we stay in an unworkable situation. We often find ourselves in situations that just don't work, but we remain paralyzed in the face of them, unable to make a decision, unwilling to make a move, waiting until we can't stand it anymore because we are so afraid of what we might lose. Jochebed knew her situation was unworkable. She knew it could not go on the way it was, but she waited until she couldn't stand it anymore because she couldn't imagine the prospect of losing her baby boy. Can you imagine the fear she must have felt in that moment, facing the loss of what would be life-changing, unimaginable, unthinkable? We can't avoid loss in this life. Things aren't designed to remain the way they are. We can't keep everything the way that they are with us. Loss will come and find us. Loss will come and find us no matter where we are, no matter how carefully we live our lives. Loss will become our portion at some point. Loss is something we cannot avoid. Change is something we cannot mute. Things change in our lives even though it scares us. Jochebed was in this situation and she feared losing, the prospect of losing her son, but either way she would have lost him. Whether she took action and she took a risk, or she took no action and the Egyptians came and took him, whether they discovered them on their own, she had this to face this prospect of losing something that meant a lot to her. But we learned a valuable lesson from Jochebed today. She did end up having to lose her son. She did end up having to let him go, watch him walk away with someone else. She wasn't able to watch him grow up. She didn't get to call him her own. But because she was courageous in the face of this loss, what she got instead, did you see this part? What she got instead was even better. What she got instead, when she was courageous in the face of the prospect of losing something that meant so much to her, she did have to lose her son for a time. But because she let him go, what happened instead was beyond her wildest dreams. I don't know if you saw this part in the story, but what happened with Jochebed was beyond what she could have ever imagined. She had to let her son go for a time, but she didn't imagine that her son was going to go from being a little boy in her small house to being a prince in the palace, from being a little boy in her small house to being the liberator of her people. She didn't know that what she was going to lose was what she was going to gain after being courageous in the face of loss was mightier than anything she could have imagined. It was better than the things she was afraid to lose. Some of us are foreclosing on what God has planned for us in the future because we are afraid to lose what we have in the present. We can't allow God's plans for us to come to fruition because we are terrified to lose what we see before us. But sometimes in impossible situations, there is loss that we will have to risk. We have to move on from certain things to get to the next thing, and it hurts sometimes to let those things go. But if we want to access the plans that God has for us, we have to overcome this fear of loss. Risk losing some things because what God has for you is better than hiding in that house. What God has for you is beyond your wildest imagination. You cannot imagine that Moses, your baby boy, would become the liberator of your people because you're afraid to let him go the way you have him now. But if you let him go, you'll see what God can do. If we let go, if we're willing to face the prospect of losing some things in our lives, God will show us that God's dreams for our lives are beyond our wildest imagination. The fear of loss, it keeps us hiding in impossible situations. Another reason we become paralyzed in unworkable situations, that we wait until we can't stand it anymore, until our psyches are about to burst. Another reason we don't make a move is because we can't see that the plans that God has for us, they're bigger than our limited expectations. Our limited expectations are too small for God's limitless possibilities. Like the carry-on suitcase that you insist on using so you will avoid incurring that $25 charge. Like the carry-on rollerboard that you know you can't fit all your stuff in, but you insist on using it because you don't want to pay the money. Like that suitcase, our expectations are too small for God's limitless possibilities. Sometimes what God has in mind for our lives won't fit in our tiny expectations. No matter how we try to rearrange and fold and cram, that suitcase just won't shut because our expectations are too small. Somebody say too small. Too small. God has told us that there is nothing impossible with the Lord, that with God all things, somebody say all things. All things are possible, but our expectations, like that rollerboard suitcase, they only have room for a few things. God's possibilities are all things. How many say all things? God told us that all things are possible with God, but our expectations only have room for a few things. We can't imagine having a rewarding career that isn't along the certain path that we have planned out in our mind, just a few things in our expectations. We can't imagine having a life that is fulfilling unless it unfolds in a certain way. I have to get married at this point. I have to find the job at this point. We can't imagine God's possibilities for us because our expectations are too small. Somebody say too small. We can't imagine that God has plans that we don't see because our expectations are tiny compared to God's possibilities for us. Jochebed could not imagine that her underprivileged, enslaved baby boy that she was holding in her arms would be a prince and a liberator. She could not imagine, because she was cramped into the house that had been given to her. She could not imagine that God's plans for him bursted her imagination, bursted the suitcase of her expectations, that she could not imagine the things that God had in mind. We're told that eye has not seen, ear has not heard, nor has it entered into the thoughts of any of us, what God has in mind for those of us who love God. She only knew Egypt. She didn't know Midian. She didn't know the Promised Land. She didn't know Mount Horeb. She didn't know all the places that her son would go because her expectations, some of our expectations are too small. There are vast worlds of possibility beyond what we limit God to. But we stay in our impossible situations. We stay in unworkable circumstances because we can't imagine anything outside of Egypt. Why else do we stay in unworkable situations till we can't take it anymore? Why else do we stay in impossible circumstances until we just can't stand it anymore? And this one is a doozy. One reason, the last reason that we stay in these unworkable situations, that our psyches are bursting at the seams, that something in us just needs to get out, but we don't make a move. The last reason is because we are intimidated by our own agency. Intimidated by our own agency. When the paths are clear and you have options before you and it's clear which decision you should make, it's not as challenging to move forward. When you can weigh your choices and you can see which one is better, it's not that scary to take a step. Ah, but when you don't know, when it's not clear, when you have to create the options on all by yourself, then it's all on you. Somebody say, all on you. We become afraid when it's all on us, when no one is telling us what to do, when God is not giving us clear directives, when our partner, our husband, or our wife is not telling us which way to go, when our boss is not giving us instructions. We become afraid when it's all on you. Somebody say, all on you. How terrifying that our future and the future of those we care about depends on us. How scary that we have the power to make the decision, and if it goes the right way, it's because of us. If it goes the wrong way, it's because of us. How scary that no one is telling us which way to go. Oh, that someone would decide for us. Oh, that someone would tell us exactly where to go, would pick us up and take us to a better situation. Oh, that someone would do it for us. It's our own agency that terrifies us. The decision is ours. The future is in our hands. Our own agency intimidates us. Jochebed was a woman who had not been taught to apprehend or to appreciate her agency. Many of you know that in Bible times, or in her day, women were considered just a little bit more than property. Women, of course, belonged to their fathers, and then when they got married, they belonged to their husbands, and they were not expected to make decisions for themselves. She had not been taught the magic of making her own mind up. And here she is in a situation where no one is offering her any advice. Her husband has nothing to say about the matter. Maybe he is too scared. Any of the mothers in the room know about being the most brave one in the household? Amen. Her husband is not saying anything. God is also not saying anything to her, though she knows the Lord. The Lord is not speaking. Has anybody ever been in a situation where you know the Lord, but you just can't seem to get God to tell you what to do? No one is telling her what to do. No one is offering her any advice. No one is giving her instruction. Yet a life hangs in the balance. And she, as the mother, has the audacity to make the decision. She is the one who has to create what's next. You might be the one who has to create what's next in your life right now. You might be the one, even though maybe no one ever taught you to appreciate your own decision-making power, you might be the one who has to make the decision, who has to step forward in courage. It might be all on you. She waits for 3 long months. She tolerates an intolerable situation. She stays in an impossible circumstance until she can't stand it anymore because her agency scares her. We wait for a lot longer than 3 months. Some of us have been saying, I can't take this anymore for years now. Some of us have said that years ago. I can't take this anymore. Oh, really? Why are you still taking it? Some of us say, I'm so sick and tired. We have to ask, how sick and tired are you if you're still doing the things that make you sick and tired? Much longer than 3 months we wait. Much longer than the agonizing period that Jochebed withstood. We stay there broken because we are intimidated by our own agency, terrified by the fact that it's all on us. Some of us have babies that are hidden in our houses and they're not growing. We have dreams that are hidden in broken places and they're not growing because we are afraid to make the decision. Jochebed is in an impossible situation today. A situation in which she cannot live the life she was created to live. She has no options. She has been waiting and hiding, stuck in this broken situation for 3 long months. And today she gets to a point where she cannot take it anymore. She gets desperate. Somebody say desperate. Yes. But there's something about a mother in desperation. I don't know if you've ever encountered it. We've all known desperation, but the mothers, when they get desperate, and when it's on behalf of their baby, there's something that switches, something that shifts inside of them. I don't know if you've ever seen it. There's something about a mother who's desperate. When you're not a mom and you get desperate, it might come and it might go. When it's not bone of your bone involved, when it's not flesh of your flesh that hangs in the balance, but when you're a mother and you get desperate, and it's on behalf of one of your children, desperation comes, but it's got a fighter spirit underneath it. Anybody know about that desperation with the fighter spirit? The desperation comes, but it has a fierceness to it. And when the fierceness comes, when this fighter spirit comes, it takes on a creativity. Kind of like Gabrielle Union. Have you seen the previews She plays Shawn Russell in Breaking In. You've probably seen the signs and the previews. Kind of like Gabrielle Union. She's a mother, and she's desperate. But she's not just desperate. She's also fierce. Anybody know any fierce mothers today? She's desperate. She's fierce. And because she's desperate and fierce, she gets creative. Jochebed gets creative today. I don't know if you see it in the text. She's a mother. And she's desperate, and she's fierce. And because she's in an impossible situation, and she says, I'm not staying here anymore. My child is too important to me. This cannot work. And she makes a decision. She gets creative with her decision, and she finds some papyrus. Somebody say papyrus. She finds some papyrus, and she finds some bitumen, and she finds some pitch. I know y'all got bitumen in your house. Deacon Owen, why didn't you bring some today to demonstrate? We got the bitumen in our house. Everybody knows what papyrus, what bitumen, and what pitch are. So papyrus, she couldn't see any options, but she found some papyrus. Somebody say papyrus. Papyrus, as we know, is a plant that grows in many environments. And when you take the plant, you can make many household items out of it. You can make paper. You can make a basket. You can make a chair. You can make a lot of things out of papyrus. But papyrus, I don't know if you knew this, but its origin is in Egypt. So I need to speak to those of you today who find yourselves in situations that seem impossible. It's amazing how when you get desperate, and then when you get fierce about your desperation, and then when you get creative, you will find some solutions that you didn't see before. Because papyrus, though it grows in many places, it originally came from Egypt. So if this papyrus was in her environment, I need you to hear this. God didn't place the papyrus basket outside of Jochebed's door. God didn't whisper to her, hey, go get the plant that you see on the corner. No, Jochebed looked around in her environment, in her death-dealing, impossible situation. And she said, I'm going to find something if it's the last thing I do. Because I am desperate, yes, but I am also a mother, so I am fierce. Somebody say fierce. And because I'm fierce, I can get creative. So she found some papyrus, some plant from the oppressor. She found something in the death-dealing situation, and she took it. How many know the tools of the enemy can be used to liberate us? She took the papyrus and she made a basket. Oh, but she still didn't have any instructions. She has a basket now, but she still doesn't have any instructions. So she looks around a little bit more and she finds some bitumen. Now bitumen, somebody say bitumen. Bitumen was a material that when it's liquid, it's viscous, right? When it's liquid, it pours. But then when it gets hard and solid, it can bind things so strongly, it can bind even heavy objects together. Bitumen, somebody say bitumen. Bitumen was used for many things. One of the most common things it was used for was for mortar. Somebody say mortar. Mortar, of course, is what you put in between bricks when you're trying to make a wall. Now, I don't know. We know that the Bible, in Bible times, they used this as mortar a lot. For example, when they were building the Tower of Babel, it says that they used bitumen to make the Tower of Babel. Another way that you would use this bitumen as mortar happened to be in Egypt. Happened to be in Egypt where Pharaoh was making the Hebrew people. What was he making them make? Bricks without straw. Right? And they would work in bricks and in mortar. If you want to look in verse 1:14, it would say that her husband, as he had to work in the brick fields during the daytime, he had to work with bitumen, with mortar, and with bricks. So here is Jochebed in a death-dealing situation, in an impossible situation that is unworkable, that is not designed for her to thrive. But she looks around and she says, I'm desperate, yes, but I'm a mother, and so I'm fierce. And because I'm fierce, I am going to get creative. My husband came home today and he had some bitumen on his shoes. Why? Because Pharaoh made him work in the brick fields today, and the bitumen was still there on his shoes. So she scraped it off of his shoes, she heated it up, and she put it around with pitch on the papyrus basket. Here she has a solution that God did not give to her. Here she has a solution that no one meant to be her solution. Here she has a solution made from ingredients that the oppressor did not want her to take. But how many know that if you're desperate, and if you are fierce, and if you are creative, you can find a solution? You can find a solution to get you out of your impossible situation. But I need you to know, she becomes our heroine today with no instructions. God has not spoken yet once in her story. She doesn't have a word from the Lord. She doesn't have a letter from someone giving her advice. She doesn't have a text telling her what to do. She doesn't have anyone to let her know which way to go. But she makes a decision. She makes a decision, and when she makes a decision, she discovers that God had a plan the whole time that she couldn't see. Can you turn to somebody next to you and let them know God has a plan That you can't see. Yes, we know that God had a plan that she couldn't see. What did she do, I wonder, Jochebed? What did she do after she made this papyrus basket? Did she cover it with bitumen from her husband's shoes that they didn't mean for her to take, that they didn't mean to be for her good? And she covered it with pitch and she put her baby in it. What did she do as she took Moses to the river and she put him in the reeds? Did she cry, I wonder? Did she go home and weep? Did she moan because she still doesn't have any instructions? She may have cried. But I need you to know, okay, today that it's okay if you got to cry a little bit. It is okay when you are in impossible situations and you have to step forward and you don't have any instruction or any certainty. It's okay if you have to cry a little bit. Because there are a lot of things that you can do while you're still crying. When you are crying, you can still fight. You can still throw a punch. You can still block a punch. There are a lot of things you can still do when you're crying. And while you were crying, like we'll see in Jochebed's story today, while she was crying, God was making arrangements. While she was crying, the tears were running down her face, but God was busy making arrangements. She made her basket, and God made the plans. She made her basket and put it in the river. She walked back to her house, had herself a good cry, and God was making the arrangements. As she was crying, God was telling Miriam where to stand. As she was crying, God was getting the princess all ready to go take her bath. As she was crying, had no idea, God not telling her anything. I need you to hear this. God was getting the maids ready to accompany Pharaoh's daughter down on her stroll. As she was crying, God was making arrangements for Moses to be picked up by the princess. What you will find when you act on what you have, when you don't wait for instructions because instructions aren't coming, when you find the power to make a decision, you will find that God has plans that you can't see. God has plans for your life that you can't see. I need you to hear that today. For the mothers who are worried about their children, God has plans for them that you cannot see. For the mystery still yet in your future, God has plans for those things that you can't see. Sometimes you have to make a decision even without the instructions. And if you have to cry a little bit on the way, it doesn't cancel out your power. You can cry while God is making the arrangements. One thing we find when we make decisions with limited information, when we make decisions to move ourselves out of impossible situations, one thing we find, God is making these plans. God has these plans that we cannot see. One thing that Jochebed discovered today, it's a beautiful thing. An amazing thing we discover this in life, that you can get back what you lost. Jochebed discovers today, I don't know if you realized, that you can get back that which you lost. She did lose her son for a time. She had to let him go. She had to let him go for those couple of months when he was in the house of the Pharaoh's daughter, and she probably cried and wailed, not knowing what was going to happen. She had to go through that loss, and loss hurts. Oh, but she didn't know that God was making those plans, that God had the Pharaoh's daughter standing there waiting to receive, waiting to make Moses into a liberator and a prince. She didn't know that God had Miriam there waiting to be a heroine in her own right. She didn't know that God was making these arrangements. She didn't know that she was going to get back what she lost. Because one day Miriam, in her brilliance, said to the princess, hey, I don't know if you would like a nurse from the Hebrew women. And the princess said, yes, that would be great. Could you go and please get me a nurse from the Hebrew women? So what she meant for evil, assuming that Jochebed could only serve the role as a nurse, God took it and God meant it for good. Yes, God took it and turned that situation around. And one day, somebody knocks at the door and she opens the door and it's her daughter. And her daughter has in her hands Moses, the baby that she lost. Anybody but live through those moments in life when you get back what you lost? Yes, you get back. It is possible in this life if you trust that God has plans that you can't see, that what you lost will come back to you. Might not come in the same way that you expected. He was a little bit older. He didn't get to stay with her his whole childhood. She got him for a little while, but she had to let him go after he was weaned about 2 or 3 years. She lost him, but she got him back. And let me tell you, there's a secret here. We know that we can get back what we lost, because one day Moses, he got the strength that he had to gather to be the liberator of his people. And God led him to go back to Egypt and say, you know what, y'all, we got to get out of here. And he gathered everybody. He gathered everybody. Pharaoh said, no, leave the livestock. And Moses said, no, they're coming with us. Pharaoh said, leave the women and the children. And Moses said, no, the women and the children are coming with us. So I don't know if you see this, but Moses, the liberator, who did not know his mother, as he was walking into the promised land, as he was leading the people out, the women and the children were with him. So there is Jochebed in the mix with her baby boy. And I bet on Mother's Day, Moses looked around and said, hey, you got my nose. Might you be my mother? And as he looked around, he said, you know what? I think we might be related. I just feel like we have similar hair. And she said, you know what, baby? I've been knowing you for a long time. And I didn't know that I was going to get back what I lost. But God had some plans that I could not see. And I bet when it was Mother's Day, Moses said to her, happy Mother's Day, mother. Thank you for being my savior. Thank you for being my provider. Thank you for being brave enough to make a decision. Brave enough to act. When you don't get the instructions, when you don't have the certainty, there is very little certainty in this life. But Jochebed shows us today the power of making a decision. There's something we will discover about our own agency, our own power, when we make a decision. Our destiny is wrapped up in our decision-making power. So Moses, we know he became a liberator of his people. He became someone that we still, there might be a Moses in this room today. Any Moseses? We're still naming people after Moses because he was such an amazing figure. His destiny was wrapped up in her power to make a decision. I don't know if you noticed, but she put him among the reeds. She put him among the reeds that day. And then later when he was liberating his people, he would make them cross through the Reed Sea. He learned because of her decision-making power. He looked around and he saw those reeds. And then when he got to the Red Sea, another word for it is Reed Sea. When he got to the Red Sea and there were reeds all around, he said, you know what? I've been here before. I know what this is like because my mom made a decision. And she put me somewhere and I've been here before. And you know what? God had a plan the whole time. And as he crossed that Red Sea, taking the people with him, as he walked into his destiny, it was all wrapped up in her power to make a decision. I need you to know today that you have power. You have decision-making power, even when there are no instructions. When God is not speaking, when no one is telling you what to do, when your husband, when your wife is not giving you, when you don't know, when you're in an impossible situation, don't wait there longer than the 3 months that's necessary. Don't stay too long because the things that are in your house, they need to be growing up and thriving. And if you're hiding them too long in an impossible situation, you're not living the life that God created you to live. But God has plans that you cannot see. Some of us we're not turning the page into a new chapter because we're afraid of closing the chapter before us, but God has plans that you can't see. Some of us are crying our eyes out at night, worrying about things that we can't control, but God has plans that you cannot see. And there is power when we make decisions when we don't know. There is power in our decision-making ability. Our destiny is wrapped up in it. So today we need to be the kind of people of faith who don't need to hear instructions all the time to walk forward, knowing that God has plans that we don't know anything about. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. You grab somebody's hand. Just stand to your feet for a second. Grab somebody's hand. Stand to your feet for a second.